Everyone on this earth is covered by the sky. All humankind lives their life covered by the same canopy. The rain falls on just and unjust. The sun shines on all colours and shades of people. We are sisters and brothers and kin living together on the sky-surrounded home. We are family. We are one. Welcome everyone on this first Sunday of the creation season, and I'm very proud to be wearing these, which Lois made to go with those, and that. It's an adaptation of the creation season logo, which is on the creation season website, and a couple of years ago now we got permission to do our own thing, so we did. And this is our St. Andrew's version of the creation logo. So welcome as we consider this month the creation around us. Let's pray. It can be easy to go from our activities, from one thing to another, from one event to another, from one place to another, and forget that around us there is a world of beauty and grace. And so as we enter this month of reflection on our world and how we relate to it, how it relates to us, how we might take care of it, give us the ears to hear and the hearts that are open to new ideas and to new ways of being. So may it be. Amen. And we say together the Jesus Prayer or the Lord's Prayer, which is on the laminated card. Eternal Spirit, life-giver, pain-bearer, love-maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, Loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Is Kezia up there? I think I saw her. Kezia, you might get to light the candle all by yourself today. That'd be fun. Jay's coming too? Oh, right. Good. Two of you. Right. What will we get Jasper to do? Will he blow it out? Yeah. Okay. There we go. Now, blow. Harder, harder. Good work. Okay. I'm telling you the story today. I think it's in the car. Oh, well. Well, I was going to show you a picture of my dad, but it's on my phone, which is in the car. So I have to show you an older picture of him. So I thought, you made some cups, didn't you? Have they been handed over?
I made one too.
You made one too? Okay. You gave it to your grandfather, right. Well, my dad was grandfather too. In fact, he narrowly missed being a great-grandfather. He knew that a great-grandchild was on the way, but the great-grandchild hadn't arrived when he died. So I haven't got a dad anymore. But he was a very old man when he died. He was 99. Isn't that a big number? My sister, you know, when she was about your age, Kezia, she told everyone he was 88 because she liked the sound of the word 88. But he wasn't 88 then. He was considerably younger. So over 100 years ago now, he was born. And there'd just been a big world war. And he was born in a quiet little farm place just outside Gore, way down south. Way down south. And he biked to school. And you know how long it takes you to get to church in the car? Well, he biked to school every day further than that. I looked it up on the map.
If you want to come to church, you have to go a long, long way.
That's right, you do, and you're in a car. Yeah. And it was on a gravel road. There was no tar seal, flat tar seal. It was a gravel road. And you know what? He had his school socks on, which came right up to his knee, and he had garters, little elastic bands to hold the socks up. And he solemnly biked all that 20 kilometres with his socks right up to his knees. He always blamed his varicose veins on it later. So that was amazing, wasn't it? And then at the end of the day, he had to bike all the way back again. It wasn't very hilly, fortunately, but that's what he did. So it's about as far as your place is from church. And you know, all his life, he went to church. All his life. I would think he would only ever miss a Sunday because he was sick. And it wouldn't be as much fun as you have at church now. He would have to sit very, very straight. He would have to be very, very quiet. And I think probably he had to sit all the way through church. He might have had Sunday school in the afternoon, but he would have to have sat very quiet as a little boy. That doesn't sound like fun, does it? But he lived on a farm, and I think he had a lot of fun on the farm. And they had horses, and they even in those days used horses to plough the fields. So he knew that. And yes, there were sheep on that farm too. There were. And every month, let me show you. This was his Bible that he had. It was always by his bed. And look, it's got a wee clasp. Isn't that clever? And it's all on really, really old paper, see? You'd have to have good eyesight to read that, wouldn't you? That's his Bible. And I'll show you a picture of him, because he did a lot of work in the church, and in the church that he was in, it was a Baptist church. So we have a council here that helps organise this church. Well, they have what they called a deacon's court. And look, it's a bunch of men, and they're all in suits and ties. Look at that. And there's only two of those men that are still alive. And that's my dad there. He looks very serious, doesn't he? Yeah, he looks very serious. They all look very serious, don't they? This man's blind, by the way. I could tell you a lot of stories about him. He was a lot of fun. He was the minister. And I've got a really funny picture of him on the beach when he stood for a funny picture that I took. But some of those people were fun, and some of them were grumpy, and all of them were really, really hard working. So that's taken in 1960. He would have been about 42 then.
Okay.
Just, yes, this one here. Yeah, he got blinded in the First World War. That's a whole other story. And I was thinking about the fact that today we're going to have communion. And my dad would have had communion every month. And he wouldn't have been allowed to have it when he was a child. He would have had to have joined the church before he was allowed to have communion in those days. But, you know, he would have had communion in Gore. He had communion in Queenstown. He had communion in Canada when he was training in the Air Force. He had communion in England. And he would have had chaplains.
There's a country called my name.
Yeah, that's right. In Canada, is there? Really?
We would stay here.
Yeah, you did. That's right.
And the amazing
yep. He was at a place called Brandon. Where were you in Canada? Jasper. Oh, you're at Jasper. That's what you meant. Yep. And when he had communion... Did you? An overnight train?
Went back to Seattle to see our cousins.
I think
and then when we left, it was my dad's dad, I was turning five.
You're turning five in Canada, that's exciting. I think my dad probably went on an overnight train too to get there as well. Okay, so that's in America, isn't it? So that was really, really exciting for him to go overseas, and he went over and he met my mum through church. He went to the church that my mum was at. And he thought she was a bit of all right, and they got married. Do you know what I remember my dad for? It's a kind of a hard word, because you can't kind of touch it or feel it. I remember him for his integrity. Now, integrity is a bit like kindness. Can you see kindness? Can you see happiness? Can you see honesty? No. So what's integrity? Well, I brought a bit of old rope to show you what integrity is like. When the rope is all together, we would say that rope had integrity. We'd say it holds together, it's nice and firm, everything's woven together, and you could pull something on that, couldn't you? You try. Right? Very good. But look, this old rope's starting to lose its integrity. Look, this is all right so far, all right so far, all right so far, but look! You wouldn't really want to depend on that rope, would you? And look at this bit. It's getting worse and worse, and look, it's all coming apart, see? And my dad was like this part of the rope, because when Dad said he'd do something, he did. If he promised, he carried it out. And if you met him in one place where there were a lot of posh people, he would just be acting the same way as when he was with a lot of ordinary people. And he was known for that, and he was very proud that he was known for that. And once there was a big flood down in Southland, and they collected a lot of money to help people with the flood. And the Prime Minister said, I know just the person who will look after all that money for us and pay it out. And Dad was one of those people, because he knew that he had integrity. He would be honest, he would deal well with people, he would be fair. And you know how sometimes, you know, when we're at home, we think, oh, well, it's just home. I can just be naughty. I can just be grumpy, you know. And then when we go out, we're on our best behaviour, you know. And we even though we feel grumpy, we act really, really well. Well, it's a really good thing to try and start to be the same all the time.
Even
what? That's right. Sometimes it isn't fair. And Dad was the kind of person who would make sure that the fair thing happened. That's right. So I always think of him as being a man of integrity. That's how we would put it. And it would be good if you were a girl of integrity and Jasper was a boy of integrity, so that people knew that when they came and dealt with you and did things with you, they could rely on you and they would know that you would be doing the fair thing. And do you know why he was like that? It was because he knew all about Jesus. And Jesus was always the same kind of loving, happy, accepting person with everybody he met. Jesus was a man of integrity. So it's a good thing to be. It's a hard word, but being good and strong, like the good parts of this rope, all the time, is a really good thing to try to do. You're probably not going to do it all the time. But if you can do it most of the time, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, let's send you to the Rainbow Room. Okay. We send you to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, ask questions, have fun, and we all say, we bless you. Amen. And we're going to pass the peace.
From the Hebrew Bible, Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of the divine. The skies proclaim the work of creation. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, a tent has been pitched for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. From the Gospel of Mark 15, verses 33 to 39, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The contemporary reading is from Alexander Garut. He's entitled it Spiritual Touchstones, written in September 16. And it's from a series of blogs on journeying on the Camino de Santiago. I slipped out of the top bunk of the creaky bed, carefully navigating my way to the bathroom through the maze of other pilgrims sleeping on mattresses on the floor of this attic. They would not enjoy being woken at 3 a.m. I noticed that the skylight window was open. As I looked out, I saw, for the first time in my life, the Milky Way streaking across the night sky. It was more glorious than any picture I had ever seen, more beautiful than anything I could have imagined. For many years, I have dreamed of seeing the Milky Way, but I've always lived in bigger cities where the Milky Way is imperceptible because of ambient light. The night sky filled with stars has always represented to me my own smallness, my own dependence on God, and my own connection to the universe. These are all things I had felt I was losing in the last couple of years before walking the Camino. And here I was, visiting the bathroom in a small LBJ in Fossombladon, reminded of all that I was searching for. For me, the night sky is a source of real spiritual connection. I have many memories of looking up at the dark sky. In those moments, more than in any other, I was sure that there was something more to this world than what we could see with our own eyes. Somewhere along the way, living in all these different urban environments, I had forgotten how much the spirituality of the night sky meant to me. I forgot that when I looked up at a blank sky filled with light cast off from stars trillions of miles away, that I could remember who I am in a way that is both profound and unique. The irony of this mystical experience in the attic bathroom in the tiniest of mountain towns in Spain was that I never really needed to walk the Camino to see the Milky Way, or even to remember my connection to the stars of the night sky. I can drive out of Boston a bit to find this source of deep connection. And I'm left asking, why don't you do that? Why don't I take care of my spiritual self by going and finding the ways and places that connect me to my God? I haven't looked up at the sky or sat along the open ocean shore enough in recent months at home in Boston. But if I'm committed to spiritual health, and I should be, then I really must incorporate these spiritual touchstones into my life with greater intentionality. These are things I can always go back to, which have meaning and remind me of my own spiritual journey. And what are these spiritual touchstones for you? What are the places, interactions, and environments that remind you of God's love and care for you? Who are the people that bring out your belovedness? How well do you integrate these individuals, spaces, and experiences into your spiritual life? How might you bring your own Camino mountaintop experience into your daily life? For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
During the week, people have sent me sky pictures, and I've deliberately used sky pictures taken by ordinary people in the ordinary times of their lives. We haven't gone to the commercial photographers to get the stunning pictures. We've got a collection here of ordinary experiences of sky, and I hope you enjoy. I'll just get the lights off and start the show. Thank you. We've just watched the sky in many forms, sunny, strewn with clouds, lit up with the setting sun, stormy, indifferent, reflecting rainbows. And as our gathering words reminded us, all humankind lives under the same sky. This round earth is surrounded with sky, light years of sky, stretching out into deepest space. There's something very equalizing about all humankind living under the same canopy. Something of that suggests, too, that an innate justice is deserved by all human beings and other creatures on this planet. Just because we are alive, we have dignity. We all have worth. We are all covered with this blue and grey and white and azure, turquoise and cobalt sky. And under that sky, all people are equal. In the 1983 music Yentl, Barbra Streisand plays an Ashkenazi Jewish girl whose father educates her against the prevailing times in 19th century Poland. After his death, Yentl disguises herself as a man and goes to the larger city to learn more. This, of course, gets her into interesting situations, including marriage to a young Jewish woman, though she herself, dressed as a man, has fallen in love with another Jewish male scholar, the Eternal Triangle. How she gets round the wedding night is an entertaining part of the movie. Inevitably, and eventually discovered and disgraced, Yentl flees to America. And on the boat, she sings of her experience in the song, Papa, Can You Hear Me? The song is partly a summary of her awakening, using the sky as a metaphor of her expanding personal horizons, but also a dialogue with her deceased father. Tell me where, she sings, where it is written what it is I was meant to be, that I can't dare. It all began the day I found that from my window I could only see a piece of sky. I stepped outside and looked around. I never dreamed it was so wide or even half as high. The time had come, Papa, can you hear me? To try my wings, and even though it seemed at any moment I could fall, I felt the most amazing things. Papa, can you see me? The things you can't imagine if you've never flown at all. Though it's safer to stay on the ground, sometimes where danger lies, there the sweetest of pleasures are found. No matter where I go, there'll be memories that tug at my sleeve, but there will also be more to question, yet more to believe. The more I live, the more I learn. The more I learn, the more I realize, the less I know. Each step I take, Papa, I've a voice now. Each page I turn, Papa, I've a choice now. Each mile I travel only means the more I have to go. What's wrong with wanting more? If you can fly, then soar. With all there is, why settle for just a piece of sky? Papa, I can hear you. Papa, I can see you. Papa, I can feel you. Papa, watch me fly. Some in our world can't even see a piece of sky from their various prisons. They wait as hostages, prisoners of war, captives of addiction, trapped in a cycle of violence, surrounded by prejudice and hate, or blinded by their own fears. Or if they can see the sky, the sun beats down unmercifully upon their heads, desiccating them and their landscape. Or a hurricane or typhoon lashes them with rain from the same sky which sits brightly blue above someone else's head. For Yentl, her tiny piece of sky grew as she gained the knowledge most girls were denied in 19th century Poland. For others, it might be that their sky expands through friendship or a formerly forbidden love, or getting that first opportunity or being financed into a new venture. For those of us whose horizons are broad and wide and long already, How can we facilitate and coach and mentor and support and finance and invest in those who need just a piece more sky so that they too can fly? And we here at St Andrews, with a broad, open, liberal sky over our heads, what are we doing with that opportunity that has been granted to us? In the contemporary reading, Alexander remembers how the breadth of the night sky reminds him of God. He also remembers that he has not taken the time or made the effort to see that night sky during his ordinary life at home. It's an unsettling experience to see ourselves as small, tiny, and insignificant under the wide arching dome of the night sky. Perhaps an experience of resizing that we might want to avoid. Alexander finds the night sky reminds him of God. We might find the night sky reminds us of the wide space within where the sacred dwells, an inner space equally as immense in its own way as outer space. With all the space about us and within, like the blue sky by day and the starry sky at night, are we spreading our wings as far as we can? Are we making the most of the space we enjoy that's been created by our faith traditions, through education, by companionship, with trust and increasing knowledge, this wide open space that we are so privileged to be within? And under the actual sky, are we sparing a thought for those whose sky is polluted and grey, whose climate has turned for the worse because of the gases we've allowed to escape into the atmosphere, who fear the next winter or the next summer because they know their crops will not grow in this changing world? Yentl sings to the sky and the sea from the bow of the boat to freedom, "The more I live, the more I learn. The more I realise, the less I know." In that spirit of humility, yet also in the spirit of daring, let us make the most of the breadth of the sky above us and aim to treat everyone under the sky as human beings of worth, dignity, and grace, so everyone in our world can find more than just a piece of sky. Our offering for the work here and beyond will be received. We pray together for all who live below the skies, for all who feel defeated and worn, hungry and homeless, for all who need to hear good news with fresh meaning, we ask justice, compassion and peace as we dedicate these gifts to alleviate want in this world. So may it be. Amen. Please be seated. While we're having the notices, if someone could remove the data projector, that would be great. In the introduction, I didn't mention the cup of tea afterwards or coffee, and if you're visiting here, we would be very glad if you came and carried on the conversation with us afterwards. So if you can do that, that would be great. We'd enjoy that. We enjoy meeting people. Pam Fuller, are you going to talk about spirited conversations? Well, I won't. Come on up and do that.
So I'm Pam Fuller and I'm a member of the congregation here, and on Tuesday week we have a spirited conversation here at church, and at the moment I've just got five names down, so I really appreciate if you could fill in your names if you're intending to come. And the person speaking is going to be Russell Feast, and he's going to be talking about his 50 years experience of working with Te Whareroa people, with their land and water issues, and how he moved from his early days as a law student and his understanding of those issues then to what he has actually come to understand today. So it sounds like a really interesting evening, and if you'd just like to fill in the forms, that would be great. Thank you.
I'm Graham Howell, and it's just an announcement for in a fortnight's time about the Social Justice Education Group. I hope to have a representative of Changemakers, who is Wellington-based refugee settlement organisation, and I've asked them to arrange for a speaker of a refugee who's been here at least 10 years, to give us a bit of a feel for how it's like after the settlement period, which is funded for, has gone through, because that's about 12 months, 18 months, and how it is living in New Zealand as a New Zealander after 10, 12, or however many years that particular person's been here. So it's a fortnight's time. That I hope will be an interesting occasion. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Brian. There's a couple of snippets I'd like to share with you. One where I think St Andrews can puff its chest out. There was a wonderful concert at St Mary's of the Angels last night, but as we went in, we were greeted with a large and rightly described industrial heater burning, pushing out huge amounts of heat, a reminder that we need to look after our musical instruments. The reason for the large industrial heater was that the temperature of St Mary's of the Angels doesn't tend to be too good, and the orchestra on that night, they wanted to keep their instruments in tune, so admittedly the machine was turned off at the end of it, so a hint of looking after your instruments, and it was also backed up by talking to a friend on the way down Manor Street, in Parshall, nothing to do with St Andrews, and we were commenting on the temperatures, and she said, "You're never cold at St Andrews." So there we are. Thank you. The other one is a bit more sobering. Some of you may have caught up with the council last week elected to start charging at the weekend. So if you're a weekend car parker, it's going to be charged from 8 a.m. I checked this with the service desk this morning, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. I think the fee is going to be something like $2.50 in the areas that would normally be $3 plus during the week, and $1.50 in the areas that would be less than $3 during the week. But number one is, it's going to be charged at the weekends as from next Saturday. Good luck with it.
I'm Pam Booth, a member of this congregation. I was able to spend some time with Pam Ormsby yesterday at Kanapuru, which was very good. And one of the things she said to me very clearly was, please send my love to everybody at St Andrews. So, there you go.
Just a very quick reminder, I'm Mundoli Parish Council Convener. We're having a short special general meeting at the after coffee. Thanks.
Next weekend is the conference here at St Andrews, and about 58 people have indicated they would be also coming to church. Extra people from the conference would also be coming to church on Sunday. So we've got more people for morning tea, which will be out in the hall, and can I encourage you to bring a generous plate for morning tea so that people well-fed and have a good time at that morning tea. Also, I'd just like to thank Peter, who's done two special extra pieces of music today and is going to play again next week for that conference service. He's working extra time at the moment because he's going to take a big holiday later in the year, so we're making the most of it. But thank you very much, Peter, for your appropriate and moonlit music. Very good for a sky Sunday. And now Jenny is going to pray for the congregation.
God beyond and within, we give thanks for the sky, for the gentle atmosphere that protects us, nourishes us. We give thanks for the life in the sky, birds, insects, pollen, dust. We give thanks for the vast expanding universe that is so immense, that we are utterly small and glimpse sometimes the mystery beyond. We pray for our world. And today particularly we remember fathers, our own and all they meant to us, their strengths and frailties. We remember men who are fathers too, whether of their own or other children, young ones who look to them for nurture, love and steadiness. We remember men separated from families, whether because relationships are broken or poverty forces them to leave for work. And especially today we think of the Filipino construction workers in Christchurch, or the men are incarcerated in prison or causes beyond them. We pray for their families and communities that need them to come home. We pray for the whānau of Kevin Castro Ratana as they grieve. We pray for the whānau of people who've suicided, felt so bereaved, and we pray for them for great comfort. In our wider world, we give thanks that the Canadian oil pipeline is halted. We pray for the Congo and the people struggling to control the Ebola outbreak. We pray for Yemen, torn apart by war, for the South Sudan and its fragile peace, for Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, and the economic problems their people face. From the book today, we pray for a dear friend of St Andrews who's recovering in hospital after an operation. And from the circle of prayer today, we think today of the people of Iceland, Greenland, the Faroe Islands, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Iceland. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Lawrence Rook Yule, Tukituki electorate, and Amy Adams, the Selwyn electorate. Here in Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Tawi Union Church. And we draw all these prayers together in the prayer for St Andrews. If you are visiting us today from another community, make this your prayer. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people.
Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honesty lives, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, strong and wholesome of our worship and work.
We are an open community here, and all are invited to this table. Wherever you are on your faith journey, wherever you have come from, and wherever you are going, whatever you believe, whatever you do not believe, you are welcome to participate in the communion. This is God's meal for all people. And we move to the communion liturgy, which is on the card that you were given as you came in. The Spirit be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks. It is indeed right to give thanks. With the whole created universe, we praise the unfailing gift of life. We give thanks that we have been made human. Love came among us in Jesus Christ, who makes all things new, not only renewing us, but bringing the promise of a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, with reconciliation of all peoples. Therefore, with those who have walked the earth before us, whether by belief or by other paths, with all those who share this planet with us now, its vast oceans and tall mountains, its serene lakes and flowing rivers, stormy moments and myriad creatures, joyfully we say, holy, 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 love, life and energy, earth and sea and sky and all that lives, declare your presence and your glory. Jesus, our brother, made known to us afresh each time in the breaking of bread, who, on the night he was handed over to be killed when he was with his friends, much like us, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup represents the new covenant. Do this whenever you drink it to remember me." Come now, the serving Spirit of God. Breathe on these fruits of the earth, this juice of grape and bread from grain, and make us one body in Christ. May we who are baptized into his death walk in newness of life, that what is sown in secret may be seen in the light, that what is sown in weakness may be raised in power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You need to work out whether you're on the left-hand side of the congregation or the right-hand side. This is the left-hand side and this is the right-hand side. Left-hand side, you're reading the italics. Right-hand side, you're reading the bold italics. Let's stand and say the affirmation together. We believe in love found in darkness. Love saw that it was very good and laughed and made some more. We believe in love who is found in waiting. We believe in love who is found in loneliness. We believe in love who is found in stillness. Who names the truth and shoulders the weight of hoping. We believe we are called as the Church to love the earth, to live humbly in the web of relationships, and announce a new way of living together as human beings on this earth. And as we come to the communion, let us do so in that spirit. Please be seated. Let us pray. We do not leave this family table without thinking of all those who this day around the globe will also come to the table. Our brothers and sisters in this faith. And we also think of those who follow other paths of belief and trust in this world, that they too may be nourished in their soul. So may it be. Amen. out into the world. I hope there's some sky you can enjoy. And know that as you go, love surrounds you every moment of every day.